Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, many poisonings with children can happen in the home, but some take place outside of the home. My guest is Dr. Catherine Carr. She's an academic pediatrician, an environmental health researcher, and director of the Northwest Pediatric Environmental Health Specialty Unit. So, Dr. Carr, when we start looking around our home, why don't you start on the outside of the home? What might we find, and what can we do about it? So, if we're going to use pesticides or, you know, insecticides, herbicides, you know, everybody kind of thinks about using that weed killer stuff or using, you know, what do we do about using these things and having our children around?
First thing you do is recognize that many of these things that you may not have thought about before are actually quite toxic and do pose a risk for your child, and they're not necessary. There are pest control methods that do not require toxic pesticide chemicals, or we'll use a least toxic method for all common household and garden problems. And how do you find out about that? I think probably one of the best resources is from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. They have, you can go to their website and Google pest control, and they have a really nice set of resources for different household pest control.
Okay,
so but they have something called the Citizen's Guide to Pest Control and Pesticide Safety, which would be a good starting point. And the other is the University of California has an integrated pest management program that also has a lot of information for households on common home and garden pests.
Okay, so, you know, outside we've got weed things, we've got stuff in the garden, we've got, you know, what about mosquito repellent? Because we know we're supposed to be spraying our children for mosquito, you know, spraying them. But is there a toxicity to that?
Well, I think we know the most and we have the most guidance around the use of DEET. And DEET comes in many different concentrations. And for children, we recommend less than 20% DEET products. And the other thing is to think about how can I avoid insect bite without a toxic chemical. And one is to use, you know, cover, long sleeves, light long sleeves, cover, you know, the ankles, socks, etc. So just, again, sort of non-toxic insect repellents. And then if you're going to use something that contains DEET, to use a lower concentration. And the other thing is to avoid combination products that have insect repellents and sunscreen. And the reason for that is the sunscreen often needs to be reapplied. And so then you're reapplying not only your sunscreen, but the insect repellent. And so that extra exposure, extra dose can get you into trouble. So keeping those two products separate.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's important to note, because you'd think, oh, I'm getting it all in one, but you do have to reapply sunscreen.
Right.
And you don't want to keep reapplying that DEET product. Now, what about
And really young babies under 6 months of age, I wouldn't recommend using insect repellents on the skin.
No, and it's better just to keep kids out, you know, inside or something like that around the times when we know bugs are the worst. But now let's go into the kitchen.
Okay.
Because people have their hazardous products, you know, their bleach and bug spray and cleaners and drain cleaners and ammonia all under the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're not completely doing a poison show here, these are all toxic chemicals.
Right.
So, you know, we've learned almost the hard way not to mix bleach and ammonia. And boy, that can create some real, but that creates that hazardous sort of steamy stuff.
Yes.
That if you just breathe that in, you know,
very corrosive and irritating to, your lining in your mouth and your throat and right down to your lungs, and very dangerous.
Okay. So, you know, what should we do? I mean, people put these things in other containers and they've got them around the house. I mean, sometimes we want to use these products. Do you recommend trying to come up with all natural products, or just, you know, I don't know, using these products as sparingly as possible?
Well, I think again, you know, if you're going to have, if you choose to use something that is poses, you know, a toxic hazard to your child, you need to be aware of it and to make sure that it's absolutely not available from a, you know, accidental, unintentional, the toddler, you know, kind of scenario getting into it. So it can't be just stored under a sink unless that is a, you know, cabinet that has got some safety locks or something on it so that it's absolutely unavailable. And, you know, toddlers are very good at getting into things, and that's just something in general to think about as your child becomes more mobile, starts to crawl and walk and cruise around. In terms of trying to just avoid, it's sort of the same as what you think classically about pesticides. So for cleaning agents, there's a whole lot you can do with vinegar-based cleaning products and baking soda, and there's all kinds of, home and inexpensive cleaning products you can make, and there's lots of good resources like that on, you know, on the web if you just kind of go look for, homemade green cleaning, again, using vinegar and baking soda and those kinds of things. So it kind of just takes that whole risk out of your household. But if you're going to have those products, absolutely make sure they're in a place that is, you know, not accessible to any youngsters in your home.
Now, are there pesticides that we might not be aware of in the home, Dr. Carr? Things that, I mean, we keep our CO2 sensors, you know, plugged into the walls and things. But are there any kinds of things you can think of that we might not realize that we might be being exposed to?
Well, I think, you know, one thing you might not think of, I mean, I think sometimes people sign up for a lawn service and they come with kind of whether you need it or not every month. You know, thinking about what you're doing to control weeds that you know, plants you don't want, weeds, what you're doing around mold and mildew cleanup, what you're doing around insect problems, and thinking about, gosh, you know, is this the least toxic method available? And that's why, I mean, you know, first of all, just asking the question raises your awareness, and then you can and find some easily identifiable resources about actually, you know, for especially for insect problems at home, a lot of it comes down to making your home not a nice place for insects. So, you know, keeping surfaces wiped off and clean so there aren't those crumbs and source of food, and water control, moisture control, because that's, you know, a very important part of life for insects and other pest problems. They need an access to water. So if you have leaks or water damage, get on that right away, because that can just lead to more problems.
Well, mold and mildew is certainly a problem that you want to, you know, use something pretty strong on. What about swimming pool chemicals? Are they considered dangerous?
Certainly in their form where they're in the chemical, you know, in the bottles and stuff, and they're highly concentrated. As themselves in the pool, I think sometimes you'll find that children who have asthma or allergy may find irritation or exacerbation from them. But you know, certainly the chemicals themselves in their form of chemicals to put in the pool are very concentrated and concerning.
So wrap it up for us, Dr. Carr, in the last 30 seconds or so about pesticides exposure and our children.
Okay. Well, eliminate toxic pesticides in your home, garden, and places where kids play. Find out about, you know, common household and garden problem pest control that is non-toxic or least toxic. And if you're going to use pesticides, follow the label directions carefully and store them safely out of reach.
Okay, that's great advice. Parents, we need to keep our children safe from pesticides, whether it's on your food or in your community. And you can go to epa.gov for the Citizen's Guide to Pest Control and Pesticide Safety. That's certainly one place to start for information on what your communities are doing about pesticides. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Stay well.